Community Connections, and I'm Alan Collier. And today we have Siri in for their normal monthly segment, and I have Paul from Siri, and he's from the community school. Welcome, Paul.
Thanks, Alan. It's really great to be here, and I was here earlier this year and really looking forward to talking about our programs and where we're going today.
Sounds great. So let's get straight into it. VCAL, what is it and why is it important?
Well, Alan, you may know that there's a big emphasis on the VCE in education, and VCAL is actually an equivalent qualification, and it stands for the Victorian Certificate of Applied Learning, and it's specially designed for those students who are looking for what we'd call a vocational pathway. And so while it's an equivalent level, it's done quite differently to the VCE. And we, as a school for kids who have struggled in mainstream schools, we only offer VCAL to our senior students. So we focus just on doing that kind of applied learning that suits our kids really well.
And years ago, there seemed to be a real push to get everybody into university, didn't it? We closed the technical schools. But that's not what everybody wants to do.
Yeah, it's not what everyone wants to do, and it's not what suits everyone. And also, these days, there's many different ways to get to university. So a lot of people go in as adults, and some students go from VCAL into a diploma or an advanced diploma, and then they're either straight away or later in life they might go on to university if that suits them. But plenty of folks go through a VCAL and through some further training at a TAFE college or whatever, and then into employment. And then as adults, we're all retraining all the time, and that's where that applied learning skills is really important.
And you can get into university at a later life as a mature age student anyway, can't you?
Yeah, look, something a lot of people don't know these days, Alan, is it's only just over 30% of students going from school to university do it using the famous 8R score. Yep. Well over half of the students going into university do it through other pathways now.
Which is good. So VCAL, tell us a bit about it and why it's important to the young people.
Yeah, so as I said, Alan, the emphasis on applied learning, which is about, really suiting learners who learn by doing things rather than, lots of theoretical knowledge. There are four key areas that students learn about. They do literacy and numeracy, which are really important for all areas of life. And they also do a couple of subjects called work-related skills, which is about understanding the workforce and enterprise skills and those kind of things. And also a personal development stream, which is about, knowing yourself as a person and being able to manage yourself and communicate and those kind of things. And then to achieve a VCAL certificate, they also have to do a vocational training course, which is usually done outside the school.
In what sort of fields, Paul?
Look, it could be anything. So we do a number of things through the training organisation we have at Siri. We do a community services strand, an early childhood strand, a horticulture strand, and also a tourism strand. But some of our students also go to places like Box Hill and Swinburne and do trade qualifications and those kind of things at a Certificate 2 level, anything from electronics to plumbing, etc. And we've had students go off and do animal studies. It really depends on if they have a passion and a drive to do something, that's the best thing for them to do their vocational training in.
And it's quite funny, the way things have turned out. I'd said at the start that the pressure was on everyone to go to uni. Some of these plumbers and electricians are earning more than what they're ones that came out of uni.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, aside from the money, and obviously making an income is important and we focus on employment, it's also about being happy in what you do. And I think that's something we really focus on with our students who maybe have thought that education's not so great for them earlier in life, and going, well, if you can find something you're happy to do, then you're actually probably happy to learn about it as well.
And you're probably going to put a bigger effort in. Paul, how long does we're talking about VCAL, over what sort of period of time is a normal course or an average course?
Yeah, look, the great thing about VCAL is it's much more flexible. So students can realistically take as long as they need to meet the outcomes, and some of our kids might take two or more years to achieve a VCAL certificate. Some students can do it in the 12 months. It really depends on their drive and circumstances. And then VCAL is offered at three different levels. There's a foundation VCAL, which is a really entry level, an intermediate, which is kind of your standard VCAL certificate, and then there's a senior VCAL, which really focuses on leadership skills as well. And students can progress from one to the other.
And you say that it's growing, VCAL?
Yeah, look, absolutely. I think there's a growing recognition, as you said, that academic subjects don't suit everyone and not everyone's aiming to go to university, but that we all do need more education. And so VCAL is a really good viable option for those students. And it's also a great option for the students who we target, which are those who have disengaged from school, because we can be really flexible in how they start working towards their VCAL. And with our younger students in year 7 to 9, we can start preparing them for that style of learning.
Terrific.
So we've got a huge demand for VCAL at the moment.
And of course, Yarra Valley FM 99.1 is the voice of the valley. And the time is 20 minutes past 12. The show's Community Connections, and I've got Paul from the Surrey Community School with me. We were talking all about VCAL, or, you know, we were touching on VCAL. And of course, that would lead into employment skills, surely, Paul.
Yeah, look, as I said, Alan, VCAL is designed as a vocational course. And, you know, one of the things we talk about a lot amongst our staff at school and really focus on with our students is that idea of, you know, what's often referred to as soft skills or employability skills. And VCAL lends itself really well to those. And, you know, I'm talking about things like, you know, communication, managing conflict, you know, teamwork and, you know, running small projects and actually all of those things that are maybe not technical skills that you might learn in a trade, like, you know, putting plumbing bits together or doing wiring or whatever, but they're the things that let you work with other people and interact with customers and actually make you a really good employee to have. And VCAL is ideally designed to allow us to focus on those, as well as the technical things like literacy and numeracy, without which you kind of can't get by, whether you're working for someone else or running your own business.
And I... pardon me. Just voice let me down. I guess the other thing too, that while we're talking about skills, I guess part of VCAL and learning some of these other things also makes you a better citizen, because not everybody can afford to get the handyman in every time you need something done either, do you? So it's all about, it's not just only about, I guess, getting them ready for a job, but surely you're part of creating a human being that takes their place in society.
Yeah, look, you're spot on, Alan, and even just the human being as an individual as well as taking their place in society. And, you know, I was talking to one of our young staff about this just last night, and we'd had a discussion about, you know, hard skills, and he's really into teaching technology skills on computers and how he can use that to teach the soft skills. And his comment at the end of it was, he said, you know, he said these young folks, they come in here and they might have high anxiety or they might be really struggling with what's happened to them in life. And we're here at the end of the year, and some of them, they're really like young adults, and they're ready to go out in the world. And that's what we do this for, you know. That's really what floats our boat.
And I guess you can't ask for more than that, can you?
No, look, absolutely, and it's its own reward to do it. But as you said, it's so critical, because we have so many young people who, you know, in the middle years of secondary school are really struggling with that, and they don't know their place in the world, and they don't know who they are, and they need a lot of support and help to develop that and find their place in the world.
Yep. And you were saying before that not all the mainstream schools have the skills and the wherewith to bring some of those pupils along. I mean, some of them have dropped out of mainstream school and they're never going to go back, are they?
Yeah, and look, I give full credit to all of my colleagues in mainstream schools, because I've worked there myself and I know how hard the job is, whoever you're working with. But we especially pick up kids who have chosen to not attend school, or who are struggling, or have not found school a good fit. And I guess we're really privileged, because with our registration as what's called a special assistant school, we get a bit of extra resourcing, and that allows us to provide the environment to give these kids a second or a third go, and to really provide the support to nourish them as people. And once you got that support and you're feeling comfortable, then you can start learning. And you know, that's our focus, is support first and then get them into learning.
And while I'm not going to denigrate any sort of teaching, because I think it's a hard job, because often you're teaching kids that don't want to be there, they'd rather be down the street. But I guess one of the things that with teaching is that it's part of it is creating the human being too, isn't it? And at the end of the, and so I guess though that when a teacher comes to the likes of Surrey, they know it's a different sort of teaching, isn't it?
Look, it is a different sort of teaching, and I think the thing that, you know, we most look for in our staff is that flexibility. And we have a mantra that we talk about all the time, which is this idea of unconditional positive regard. It doesn't matter what's happened to a young person or what mistakes they've made. They're a human being first, and we treat them that way. And that allows us to engage with them and then get them on the road to growth and becoming a different person.
And it's a very sad society that says because you made a mistake in the past, then you're denied a future, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And it's a huge cost to society if we have that attitude. You know, we need to view every individual as being able to make a positive contribution and find a way for them to do it.
And the other thing too, that if not all these young people, you like to think, or I would have liked to think, that every family has a dad who goes off to work and he gets up at 5:30 and he goes to work and he works all day and he comes home at night. But not all these young people have those sorts of influences in their life, do they?
Oh, look, absolutely, Alan, and you'd probably be horrified by some of the things I and my staff come across. And, you know, to be honest, for some of our kids, it's a miracle that they actually get up and get to school.
Is it?
And, you know, we provide the support, but it's really them who has to get up. And sometimes they've had terrible circumstances at home or terrible events happen in their life. And, you know, I think all of us would find it difficult to just get up and go, oh, I'm going to go to a school and learn today. And yet, you know, they do that, and with the right support and the chance to be treated as, you know, dignified people. they can work through those things with our support and then work through until they're in an okay place to learn.
And it's also very, very easy, and society does a lot. They just pigeonhole people, don't they? And if they think their circumstances aren't all that good, then they tend to shun away from some of those people too.
Look, yeah, we see a lot of that, and I think, again, with our staff, we see that what they find is the good in everybody. And, you know, we've got some extraordinary young people who have amazing talents that maybe just aren't kind of the norm in an academics kind of setting. Yep. And when we can kind of bring those talents to the fore and they can start using them in a different way, they suddenly feel different about themselves and they feel that they can succeed. And, you know, for us, that finding, you know, what's the definition of success for every young person, and being able to help them understand that, you know, what they're doing is success, is often the turning point.
And very often success, and this is one of the problems, I think, with education, is that success, and I'm not saying in your case, but in mainstream, success is usually the ATAR score, what they get at the end of the year and the other years, and you know, where you are in the class. Success may be that you got them there 47 or 45 weeks of the year.
Absolutely. Success can be being there. Success can be, you know, being able to behave respectfully with people who you don't get on with. Or it can be helping out people and being of real service, which is something I notice that our kids really like doing when they have the opportunity. We do things like hospitality and canteen programs, and our kids love being of service to each other and to other people in the community.
I've just got to take a quick break, but when we come back, I'd like you, if you could just give us a rough idea how it feels like as a principal and as a teacher at the end of the year, when you've got a group of young people who have come in during the year who, if you were going to be rude, would say they look like they're going to go nowhere, and all of a sudden you get the end of the year. I'd love to hear a couple of little stories you've got.
That'd be great, Alan.
You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 27 minutes to one. And I've got Paul with me from the Surrey Community School. And Paul, we've been talking about VCAL and employability and all that. And I just mentioned before we went to the break, you must have heaps of really good stories. And so maybe you've got time to share one or two with us, please.
Yeah, look, I'll pick a couple, Alan, and I'll obviously be careful because I don't want to identify particular students. Nope. But
we don't want to get caught out doing it either.
No, absolutely. But, you know, one that sprang to mind when you asked me that question was, you know, we had a project running with an organisation in Melbourne called the Artful Dodgers Studios that they do similar work to us with a slightly older group in Melbourne. And some of you may remember a band called the Painters and Dockers, but
I certainly do.
Paulie Stewart works for them. So he actually worked with our kids over about six sessions and did a music project with them. And they came to our school and got to know the kids who were interested in music. the kids went to their studio in Melbourne and got up and performed. It's in Collingwood. They do an open mic.
Gee, they'd love that, wouldn't they?
Well, they were, to be honest, they were petrified. And some of our kids, actually, you may be surprised, but they haven't been on the train to Melbourne and done those kind of things. And we're talking kids from 15 to 18. And so, you know, their teachers supported them and got them to Melbourne, and we deliberately went by public transport because that's part of learning for them.
Yep.
They got up and did open mic on a couple of occasions, and they learned a bit about, you know, performing and running a performing studio. And from there, they then came back to the school and put on a performance for their peers, and the other students who aren't so musical but interested in other things put on a community lunch for all of us and the visitors from the Artful Dodgers. And essentially, we had a really positive event and a big celebration. And I just want to highlight, in amongst that, we actually had a couple of our girls who have had some huge issues in their life around their own mental health. And they were prepared to get up and speak about their problems to their peers and talk about, you know, how they had worked through that. And if we were talking earlier about, you know, employability skills and soft skills and those things, if you think of all of the things that those kids achieve in a project like that, and, you know, how they develop them without us, you know, teaching them, they develop them through doing them. And that's what applied learning's about.
Yep.
You ask me how I feel, you know what, I and the staff who support them, what we feel is just enormously proud of the opportunity to do the work and enormously proud of the kids when they get up and take the risk and do those really difficult things.
Because there is a risk when you get up in front of a group of particularly other young people, because it can go very bad.
It can, you know, and I think what we do really well at our school is we recognise that. And as well as feeling proud of those kids, we're incredibly supportive of the kids who weren't able to do it and who, you know, maybe will do it next time. And that's kind of one of the things we really focus on, is that, you know, if you're not ready, you're not ready yet. So you might be ready in 6 months or 12 months or whatever. And our job is just to make sure there's a safe and supportive environment for you to be ready one day.
So it's not a case of, well, you can't do it. It's a case of, well, you're just not ready. This go through.
That's right. Yeah. And just to give you one other little example, you know, we've got a group who work in our senior VCAL group who do hospitality, and they actually travel to our Yarra Junction campus to do that in our kitchen there. And the real growth that I've seen in some of those students this year is that when we have some young students who are struggling, maybe year 7 and 8, and not coping so well with the learning environment for that morning, we'll put them in the kitchen with the older kids, and they actually become part of that cooking group, and they're the kitchen hands for the day.
Yep.
And having the older students as really positive role models and mentors for the younger students is just an enormous learning opportunity both ways. And to get away from that idea that we, you know, we put kids in rooms where they're all the one age and they're all doing the same thing, really changes the dynamic and allows the older students to show their leadership and their skills, and the younger students to benefit from that, but also to see, hey, like, you know, maybe those kids were like me a few years ago, and I can be that person if I can just keep, you know, being supported and keep working through things.
Terrific. Paul, we've been talking about VCAL and where jobs are going. You want to talk a little about the young people and how you see the future? Because I think I was saying to you off air, I mean, the last company I worked for over 32 years, but that's not going to be the future, is it?
No, look, I think, Alan, you're spot on, and we were talking off air about the, you know, there's a lot of people walking around talking about what the future might look like, and I think the reality is that none of us know for sure, but what we do know is that the pace of change is getting quicker, and that technology and change are involved everywhere in our lives. And I think for our young people, what that means is that they have to be flexible and adaptable. They're going to have multiple careers, and careers may not even be the right word. There's a lot of young people now who are they're creating their own work and their own jobs, or they're doing project work and going from project to project rather than working for an employer as such.
And it seems to me as though in the future, it seems to be taking off a bit too, that people are going to be employed for a well, when I say a position, not for a particular job, and that job might last 2-3 years, and then they need to go on.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's really the big version of project work, isn't it? Yep. They're employed to do a particular thing, and when they've done that, they move on. And you know, when you think about the skills in that, they have to come together with a group of people, they have to work together really well for a period of time, and then they have to be able to go off and form another group with someone else to do a different job. And
I was going to say, not always doing the same job either, is
no,
it?
No, that's right. And it's fascinating to watch how you try to cater for that in a school. And also, you know, there's a lot of literature and a lot of talk around what we call entrepreneurship skills and how you create your own kind of little niche within the economy that you can use either as a full-time job or in between those projects so that you can maintain a good income and maintain an active and healthy life.
Yep. And technology, as you just said, is into everything. I was just telling you the story that I know a truck driver who they supplied him with a new Mercedes truck, and he doesn't know anything about computers, but he couldn't even get the truck started without using computers.
Yeah, look, technology is everywhere, and I think for us it's about, you know, seeing technology as ubiquitous and part of everything, but also seeing how we use it well rather than badly. And, you know, obviously at schools we have to manage the whole social media thing and that as well, which is, you know, one of the real challenges in being a principal. I think the other thing, Alan, that I notice working with young people is that they are really focused on what's happening around them and the things they're concerned about with the future, and things like the environment and climate change and the future of employment and their place in the world. And, you know, for the young people who come to us who maybe haven't done so well in education, it's really important that they feel that they can influence those things, because for me that's actually what makes young people good citizens and part of society. So
and not only they need to be part of it too, they not only need to see or concerned about what's going to happen, they need to be part of it too, the solution as well, don't they?
Yeah, and that's something we as a school support really strongly, and it's really interesting because, you know, as an example, we had a group of students who wanted to go off to the last climate strike that young people have been holding, and we had a bit of debate, like, is that our role? And I guess the thing that we came down on was, well, our role is to support the kids, and if they wanted to do that, then we were going to support them. So we had a staff member go off with them, and you know, they went and made their voice heard along with, you know, hundreds of thousands of other young people. And it's not because that's what we believe, but it's because it's what they believe, and it's their voice in schooling that's really important.
And I believe there's another one coming up this Friday, isn't there?
Yeah, I think there is, but we're in end of year mode, so I haven't had a request yet, but you never know.
Well, I actually tend to think that a lot of them are still finishing exams and off on schoolies week and all that. I'm not sure where that'll go, but anyway, Paul, tell us a bit about the growth and development, how you're getting along with the school, please.
Yeah, look, thanks, Alan. And we've been talking about why VCAL is important and about, you know, what we do for our kids who are at risk of disengagement. And I guess because of that, we've been having a really strong demand for places from families, and probably through this year had a few families on hold, which is unfortunate. But we're really happy to be growing next year. We're actually increasing the size of the school by about a third. We've got a bit of extra space at our Mount Evelyn campus that's letting us grow, and likewise finding some extra space at Yarra Junction. So we're really happy that at the moment we're able to offer places to the families that are looking for next year, and I'm sure that demand's going to continue to grow. But for us, it's about trying to meet the community's need rather than growing for growth's sake. And what I've found since I've been here this year is that we are just getting regular calls from families whose kids haven't been to school for weeks or months, and our job is to find a place for them and do our best to cater for all of those who we can.
It's pretty bad. Well, I mean, you can only work within the bounds of the physical, but it's pretty hard when the buildings are can only cater for so many, is it? You can only do so much with them.
Look, absolutely. And, you know, it's good to be part of a bigger organisation in Siri Services, because we work together and we're trying to be really flexible and get the best use out of all the spaces that we've got. And that's why we've been able. So we've had 5 classes at each campus this year, and we're going up to 8 classes at Mount Evelyn next year and 6 classes at Yarra Junction. And that's going to be about as full as we can get unless we get the chance to put some more buildings somewhere. But that's a good start for now.
Paul, no doubt we've had listeners that you've twigged along that have thought, you know, this might be for my child. So can you give us some contact details where people can find out a bit more about the Siri Community School Place?
Absolutely, Alan. And just for everybody out there, Siri Community School is part of Siri Services, and you can contact us either through our website at www.siri.org.au. It's www.cire.org.au. You could Google Siri, just C-I-R-E, and you'll find our webpage, or you'll find us on Facebook under the same name, or you could call 1-300-835-235. That's 1-300-835-235.
Now, you've got a couple of things coming up you'd like to tell us.
A couple of things I'd like to mention for people to consider beyond the school is that our training organisation has the 2020 course guide out now, and you can find that on the website. And there's a range of both accredited and short course training and non-accredited training there that people might be interested in. The Chirnside Car Park Community Hub is opening its kinder next year, its kinder space. And so if you're looking to enrol your child in kinder, please get in touch with the community hub there in Chirnside Park. And also occasional care running out of Chirnside Park and our other centres. And then our two community hubs at Chirnside Park and at Yarra Junction have got a heap of activities.
Paul, unfortunately our time is coming to an end. Thank you for Siri for being with us all year, and thank you for yourself coming in. Hope you have a great Christmas, whatever you're going to do, and we'll look forward to seeing Siri in the new year.
It's my pleasure, Alan, and we'll be back here next year to tell people what we're doing and to be part of this great community.
Thank you.